You are listening to Cato Oaks Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at Cato Oaks, Richland College, or the DCCD. This will be another short show. We have some scheduling problems. Normally, I was planning on a special 2-hour to 3-hour edition, but this will probably be a short edition as well because of the scheduling problems. We'll play it by ear. It might just go 20 minutes or an hour, or maybe a little bit longer depending on availability of the studio. Today in Dallas in particular, and that's where I'm broadcasting from, is the 50th anniversary of the assassination of the late President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And most people that were alive then, that were not, you know, children or babies, know where they were. And I was at home. I had just come home from school. I was in high school my senior year, and was looking forward to graduate in June. And I sat down to the TV, turned it on, and at that time I was listening, I know, to Walter Cronkite, and it was at listening to it live when he said the president was killed. I heard a little bit before that, and then he read the message that the President Kennedy was killed by assassin in Dallas. Everyone of my age, a little bit younger, older, knows where they were. If you were much older, you knew where you were when you heard about Pearl Harbor. Today's college students probably know where they were on September 11th. There are certain news events that are of such magnitude that people remember that. Now, I have, over the years, over many, many years, I'm somewhat of a history buff, and I read a lot about politics, presidents, foreign affairs, economics. And today, to prepare for the show, I had several books on my shelf. I pulled one down, started to read various parts. I wasn't really trying to read the book. I was just trying to refresh my memory. It was one that was readily available. And it was interesting, although I had read a lot over the years, you still learn new things. And I did learn several new things about President Kennedy that you probably are not aware of. Now, I knew he had, because of a war injury, he did have serious back problems and pain, but he wore a back brace. That I knew. And if you listen to accounts of people that were, for example, at Parkland Hospital, the back brace really was very stiff. It was hard to get off. Anyway, what I learned new, I knew that. But what I did not know is that President Kennedy used crutches most of the time when he was in the White House. It was very much like President FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was in a wheelchair. You seldom had any pictures or very few pictures of him actually in the wheelchair. It's the same thing with Kennedy. There are a few pictures of that, but those photographs simply were not taken. And it was a different time and place, because people that are familiar with the Kennedy, JFK, I really don't think today he could be elected president. And why it's really his, there's no easy way to say that. He was a womanizer. And most people today that are young don't even know that. But if that ever got out at that period of time, he never would have been nominated, and forget about elected president. But there was a certain unwritten rule. The press knew this. It wasn't like it was a secret. Multiple people, they didn't try to really hide it at all, but it would be a scandal. And because of that alone, many people, if that was well known prior to his election or even nomination, he would never even gotten the nomination. I'm bringing it up because history can be selective. Right now, it's kind of a weird feeling. We were discussing before the show his administration and the fact that some people rate him the best president in the last 50 years or the last half of the 20th century. I don't, not at all. And you get a certain liberal bias amongst historians. The same thing is for FDR. If you're familiar with FDR's economic policies during the Great Depression, they were terrible. He was a total, complete disaster. In the Kennedy administration, his poll numbers were going down. The Gallup poll when he was assassinated was down to 43%. He needed very much to carry Texas to be reelected. He was one of the reasons he came to Dallas was to he came to Texas. He actually stopped at San Antonio, Houston, Fort Worth, as well as Dallas, was to raise money and really mend fences because he absolutely needed to carry Texas. And he was not, even though there was no love lost between LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and President Kennedy, they needed each other. And a number of his advisors said, are you going to dump LBJ? And his response is, are you nuts? I absolutely need him to carry Texas. And that is true. Without Texas, he would not have been elected president the first time. And if he got the nomination, which I think he would have, but whether or not he would have been reelected had he not been assassinated is still very much up in the air. His administration did not get off to a good start, mainly because of the problem, the Bay of Pigs fiasco, and the fact that the people involved with that, the Cuban freedom fighters, or however you want to call it, was a CIA operation that he inherited from the Eisenhower administration. He gave the go-ahead, and it was a disaster. The people there were, many of them died, many of them were wounded, and many of them were captured, put in prison, eventually traded and brought back to the United States. And really, that alone is a negative. Now, the one thing you need to be aware of, he did have a success in the foreign policy arena, but it almost brought us to the brink of nuclear war with the Soviet Union because the Soviet Union, together with Cuba, tried to put missiles in, nuclear missiles, into Cuba that were just off her shore. So he did stop that, and that is a big success. You need to be fair here, but it was very much touch and go. And a number of his advisors, some of the generals, were advising to go to war, to bomb them, to take out the missiles that were there. Not only did they stop missiles in the process of being shipped from the Soviet Union heading towards Cuba, but there were missiles in the United States. And that was very much the brink, the closest we've propped the United States in my lifetime has come to a possible war with the Soviet Union. Fortunately, that did not happen. And that was a close call. It was very much brinksmanship, and I give credit where credit's due. I think Kennedy handled it well, but he had to really go against the advice of many of his advisors, including his generals, that were recommending bombing Cuba to take out the missiles. Now, one thing I'm very positive about, and this is something liberals and progressives don't like to remember, is he was a big advocate of cutting taxes to get the economy growing. And here I'm on the same page as he was. He understood that the way you get rid of a budgetary deficit is you need economic growth. And to get economic growth, you need tax cuts. Now, unfortunately, he was assassinated. So he, to some extent, doesn't get the credit for it, but LBJ did push it through. It was a little bit later than they needed it then, but it was subsequently passed, and it did lead to economic growth for the United States and prosperity. Another area, though, that, and here you get conflicting reports, is we were beginning to see escalation into South Vietnam. And some will say he would have pulled, if he had lived, he would have pulled out. It's not clear. I really think he would have done the same thing LBJ did. Namely, he would gradually increase the number of U.S. advisors, military there. There are already many thousands there, and many got killed prior when he was already alive. So I'm not trying to summarize the Kennedy administration, but I think it's very much a mixed situation. I don't think he was the greatest president in the last 50 years. I mean, objectively, I think that's Ronald Reagan. And if you want to look at the presidents for that 100-year period, I think Calvin Coolidge was a terrific president. We had very low unemployment and growth, and that was part of the Roaring Twenties. Where we had the real start of big government and big interventionist government was with a Republican progressive Herbert Hoover, whose policies then were extended and expanded upon by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And what's happened is both political parties have been parties for bigger and bigger government. That's why I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. Now, at the time, I really didn't have any, when this assassination happened, most of my family were Democrats. And on my mother's side is Irish Catholic, so our family was big supporters of JFK. But I was a big supporter of Barry Goldwater. And LBJ won big. And as a direct result of that, we had a massive involvement in South Vietnam. And I think if Kennedy were alive, he would have done it. He was, the thing to keep in mind, and it's hard to compare because it's somewhat of a different period. In many respects, and there's a book out to, I forget the author, but Kennedy, for example, in the economic policies, I would agree with him. And some would say that's a conservative policy. I don't know how you, I know liberals were against what he wanted to do. There are the liberals in his administration, including Ambassador, at that time, Ambassador John Kenneth Galbraith, actually came back and tried to argue against the tax cuts that ultimately LBJ passed. But President Kennedy, for example, in his speech, his last speech, public speech in Fort Worth, which I heard today, was a big advocate of a strong national defense. He expanded the number of intercontinental ballistic missiles, same thing with nuclear submarines, a big space program. He was strong on national defense, which I am. Although I'm a libertarian and believe on limited government, you need to have a strong national defense to defend the United States against its enemies. It's not a nice world out there. There are some bad guys that if they had the power, would try to take your stuff and take your liberty and take your freedom. So he was very much for a strong national defense, a strong space program, as were liberals at that time. See, what you've had in the last 50 years is a shift of both political parties towards the left. Now, the Democratic Party has really swung, as far as I'm concerned, to the far left. They want bigger government, and Obamacare is a good example of that, what they really want. They want single payer. Obamacare is really a stepping stone to single payer, which I am totally against if you've been listening to several of the shows the last couple of weeks, because I've spent a lot of time on it. I'm not going to spend much time on it today because this probably will be a short show. But I think you can, and here's the problem. People that weren't alive then really know very, very little about the Kennedy administration. I think it's true, not for everybody, for most people. History really begins when they were born, and some would say even later. So if you weren't born in 1963, obviously you have no memory of it. And even people that were alive that were children, let's say not even teenagers, 12 years prior, let's say they were born in 1950. If you were born in 1950, you would have been 13 years old. And most people that are 13 years old don't pay attention to politics. Even today in college, most college students don't really get into politics. Now, there are exceptions to that. They're not interested in politics. They're not interested in government. They're not interested in history. And because of whatever they are interested in, they know little, if anything, about past history. And that's true with me. It's only because I've done some reading over the years and I'm interested in certain topics that I know more than most people on history. But so history really begins from the time you were born, and for most period, it's several decades. And yes, if there was a major news event such as the assassination of a president today, people alive today will remember where they were. I'm not advocating that at all. I'm just saying that would be a fact. So if there's any major news event, such as assassination, such as war, such as a political attack, such as on 9/11, a terrorist attack, people know where they were. It's indelible. My parents knew where they were when Pearl Harbor was attacked. I don't, because I wasn't born then. And what I'm leading up to is this. In 50 years, on the 100th anniversary of this assassination, There might be some event in Dallas, but I really doubt that it's going to be anywhere near what it is today. It's on the news. It's obviously in Dallas. It's a big event, and people have gone down to Dealey Plaza and commemorate that date. But I think in 100 years, there'd be very, very few people that really would remember this. And most people can't make an objective assessment whether he was a great president. I don't think he was a great president. And what surprised me is there was very little. Now, I know this is the anniversary of the assassination, but there was very little attempt to review the, just from a political, economic point of view, the administration of President Kennedy. And I think that would have been useful for the simple reason most people don't know it at all, unless you've done a lot of reading. And you have to be careful here, because some people were pro-Kennedy and wrote a very, and the myth, and it was a myth of Camelot, was really promoted by Jacqueline Kennedy after her husband's assassination. There was never a Camelot. As a matter of fact, from the little I've read, there were big problems of the marriage, because it's obvious that Jacqueline Kennedy was aware of her husband's fooling around, womanizing in the White House, became aware of it, and was not happy about it. Now, they're both dead. Who knows? History tends to be selective, and people that write it tend to have their biases. Now, one thing I didn't get into, and I'm really not a conspiracy theory buff, but the Richland Chronicle paper has been running some articles, and we have people on campus that, so-called experts on conspiracy theories. My take is Oswald shot him. I don't have many doubts on that. But my question was, what was the involvement of the mafia and the CIA in the assassination, if any? Because Jack Ruby, who killed Oswald, was very much connected with the Chicago mob, as well as the New Orleans mob. And for whatever reason, I think I know why the mob would go after him. Robert Kennedy, the president's brother, was appointed attorney general. And he was aggressively across the country, not just in one city, but where mafia was, obviously in New York, Chicago, but in other cities, Miami, New Orleans, was going after the mob vigorously. And to a certain extent, the mob felt they were double-crossed because the CIA reached out to the mob to assassinate Fidel Castro. So there is some mafia involvement, but I will never know. Because unfortunately, the investigation, both the Warren Commission, I think, didn't do a good job. They did an okay job, but not a thorough investigation. Because it was well known at the time and subsequently learned that Jack Ruby was connected with the mob. And why did he kill Oswald? That's the big question. And Ruby, you know, ran a strip joint club, invited cops, Dallas police officers, to frequent his club, providing them with the dancers. Jack Ruby ran gambling in Dallas, and to a certain extent, prostitution. And all that was known at the time. It was no secret. And no secret that Jack Ruby was close to many police officers in Dallas. Now, all of these people are dead. But at the time, it was known. All of this needed to be explored and really wasn't. Only later that people that did have subsequent investigations. So if you ask me my take, Oswald most likely was the person that killed President Kennedy. However, why was he there? And remember, Oswald was an ex-Marine. He had a marksmanship badge, but what was key is that he got as a Marine. He got out of the Marines, went to the Soviet Union. He was a Marxist, a communist, married, and then came back to the United States. And had just recently come to Dallas. What needed to be explored is his connections in the United States to communists and other groups, as well as the mafia. My conclusion is we'll never know the whole story, because most of the people that were involved are dead, and most of the evidence is gone. Now, one book I did read and I recommend is Contract on America, The Mafia Murder of President Kennedy by David E. Scheim, S-C-H-E-I-M. And I had read that, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. And I find it very credible, very detailed. But there are many other theories. And you'll run into people that think it was Castro that killed him, the Vietnamese that killed him, the CIA that killed him, a CIA FBI, LBJ. There's a long list of possible candidates. But the obvious one was Lee Harvey Oswald. And I'm convinced he did it, but I'm not convinced he just was a random agent that did it. I think they were looking, whoever, what I'm saying is, what organization had the motive, the means, and the opportunity to go after the president? And the answer I come to is the mafia. Because they were being, their business activities were being limited and gone after, and people were being put in prison by Robert Kennedy. It was a vigorous, across-the-country prosecution of the mob. They were hurting. So they had the definitely had the motive to do it. And they had the means for the simple reason, the way the mob handles or organized crime, there are various names for it. I like mafia. The way the mob or organized crime mafia handles their problem is they kill a person. If you're a problem, they kill you. If you're lucky, they might beat you so you get the message to move on. But they were not happy with the Kennedys, and the way to get, they were definitely not happy with Robert Kennedy, and it's also going after corrupt unions that the mob was trying to get their pension funds, steal the pension funds from the union members. So the Kennedy brothers were a big problem, and you know, once President Kennedy was assassinated, they knew that it would not be too long before Robert Kennedy was just another lawyer. Now, he did run to Robert Kennedy, did run for the Senate in New York and got elected. I remember I was going to college and I attended a rally where he was given a speech. But that was a long time ago. Now, I wasn't a Kennedy supporter. I need to say that. I was a big-time Goldwater supporter. But you need to know a little history. And I don't buy that the left would like to think that Dallas was a right-wing crazy city. But the person that actually killed John F. Kennedy was a Marxist communist. And that just eats them up to no end. Now, admittedly, initially trained as a Marine. And I believe he was stationed in Japan and was doing crypto work, communications work, before he decided to go to the Soviet Union. But that's who killed Kennedy. Now, the question is, why did the mob kill Oswald? Why did Jack Ruby kill Oswald? I think he was ordered to by the mob bosses because Oswald had some information that could connect him to the mob. So the contract went out and Ruby was told, you will kill him. And Ruby had the contacts. He was tight with the police department and he was running gambling in Dallas besides the nightclub. And the way he corrupted the police in Dallas was, come to my club, free drinks, free women. So he had easy access. That's why he got into the garage, was able to get into the garage and shoot him. But we'll never know really why, because all the principals are dead. Most of the evidence, some of the evidence probably still out there in archives. And maybe in 50 years we'll have another investigation. Who knows? So my take is, again, do your homework. Don't rely on my opinion. It's really, this is sort of random comments and opinions. I'm trying to be fair here and respectful, but John F. Kennedy was not a great president. He was cut off, and we'll never know whether he could have been a great president. History could have dramatically changed. And let me give you an example. What if it's true, as some of the Kennedy supporters say, that he never would have got us more deeply involved in Vietnam? We would not have had a Vietnam War. That would dramatically change the course of U.S. history. And let's assume for a minute that Lyndon Baines Johnson served out a second term, but did not get the subsequent nomination because, for the simple reason, the Kennedy family, especially Robert Kennedy, couldn't stand Lyndon Baines Johnson. And we didn't have a war on poverty. We might not have had Medicare. That's now going broke, running massive deficits. So it does matter who leads the country. And you do have events that are caused by conspiracy. There are people that write history that there's some people that don't believe in conspiracy theories. When I hear that, I say, well, why don't you do this? Go down to your local court and spend a couple of days. And I think you'll conclude that, guess what? People conspire all the time. History is a series of conspiracies. Some you know about and some you don't. And on this one, I think I don't think the book will ever be written, because the principles, especially in the mob, as well as a lot of the evidence, it's no longer around. And this has been investigated. This assassination was investigated many times, and there are many books on it. Everyone has their theory. I've read fictional books, and I've read so-called historical accounts, and this is a big business. I don't get involved in it. I've more or less come to the conclusion Oswald did it. The mob was involved. They had the means, the motive, and the opportunity. They made sure Oswald, whatever he knew, he took to his grave. And I think Ruby knew more than he... Ruby was not a nice guy. I need to say this. He would beat you up if he had an argument with you. Really savagely. You need to understand that. Even though he died of cancer and all this, I strongly believe he was ordered by organized crime figures to kill Oswald. He probably knew a little of why they wanted to do it, but not much. I think it was strictly, Jack, we'll pay you so much money, we'll take care of your legal bills, but if you want to stay alive, you've been designated the hitman on Oswald. And he did it. I don't think willingly. I think he knew he had no choice. And I think he knew he was going to be arrested, and he knew he was going to be imprisoned. Now, what also happens is the mob has ways of making sure any loose strings are taken care of. And I don't have any details, but from my recollection of reading, there were an awful lot of people that knew bits and pieces of this that suddenly died. They had accidents. Now, people die naturally every day, but there were just too many people in various parts that suddenly they had a heart attack or an accident. And the numbers, what I'm saying is, again, the mob had the capability of making sure any loose strings were taken care of. And I think some innocent people got caught. Let's put it, what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't mean that they were in on the conspiracy, it's they had information that could point towards the mob. And see, I remember it was only many years later that the mob connection came out. Initially, it did not come out. The Warren Commission did not say that Jack Ruby was anyway connected with what I'm calling the mob or mafia. Yet he was. It was no secret. He ran gambling in Dallas. He made sure the police officers were taken care of so his operations wouldn't be shut down. So he was the mob's man in Dallas as far as gambling and to a certain extent prostitution. And that subsequently came out. So if you're interested in conspiracy theories, good luck. There are a lot of them. I've given you my 2 cents. What I'm more concerned about is a fair assessment of his administration. I think it's incomplete. He had some great potential. It was clear to me that he was growing in the office. Some people never grow in the office. I think he was learning on the job, but we'll never know. Because he might not have been reelected. You need to keep that in mind. I think he would have been renominated, but I'm not sure he would have been reelected. Because he came to Dallas because he had problems with some of the Democrats in Dallas. And it mainly, part of it was over civil rights. And initially, he was very, very lukewarm to the whole civil rights movement. Now, that changed towards the end of his administration. And it was really Lyndon Baines Johnson that pushed the Civil Rights Act through, as well as the tax cut. Because Lyndon Baines Johnson was a creature of the Senate. He could get things done and did get things done. But, the unanswered question is, if he were still vice president, would he have gotten behind it? I don't know. Maybe. Especially if he wants to become the subsequent, if Jack Kennedy had served two full terms, become the next nominee. And I think you could see what I'm trying to say. History could have dramatically changed. We might not have had the Vietnam War. We might have, I think we would have subsequently have the equivalent of the Civil Rights Act, but it might have been many years later, let's say into the 70s. And see, if you didn't have the Vietnam War, you wouldn't have had the peace movement in the United States. You wouldn't have the demonstration on campuses. Remember, we had a draft, and one of the reasons why you had these massive demonstrations across the country against the Vietnam War was the fact that students, college students, after they graduated from college, were subject to the draft. Today, we don't have a draft, so there's very little protest, some would say none, against the wars we've had in Afghanistan and Iraq. History, there's a certain dynamic, and you have to understand the situation. And subsequently, the draft was done away with. Even though you have to register today, it was done away with. I'm not for the draft, by the way. Never was. That allows the state, big interventionist government, a pool of people to use to fill the Army, the Marines, the Navy, and Air Force. It's cheap labor. So I'm not for any draft. And there are arguments on both sides. Some say everybody should have national service. No, I think people need to volunteer. I was a volunteer. I spent 5 years in the Air Force. But that was what I wanted to do. I volunteered for 5 years. Very, I think, successful years. And I hadn't planned to make it a career. I was very much ambivalent on that, and after 5 years, I decided to get out. And I was on the fast track for bigger things, but I decided that my interests had changed, my focus had changed, and decided the private sector was where I wanted to pursue careers. Actually, I pursued several. And initially, I was listening to the speech that Kennedy gave at Fort Worth, and he was mentioning, I used to work for General Dynamics, and they have their plant. It was an Air Force plant. I don't know if it's still an Air Force plant. It's a government plant at Fort Worth. It used to be Carswell. And Carswell, I know, had B-52s there, at least when I was there, working for General Dynamics, but that's what I did after I got out of the Air Force. Well, Kennedy, in his speech of 63, was referring, he called it the TFX, that was the what became the F-111 program. He also referred to a bomber that, and I don't know if General Dynamics at the time owned it. I think it did, but I'm not sure. It might have had another name. There have been several name changes. Today, Lockheed Martin owns it. They're still building F-16s and, I believe, F-22s. They build fighter aircraft and, in the past, bomber aircraft as well. And Kennedy, again, was a big advocate of a strong national defense. And he, in his last speech, summarized what he had done. So I think it's somewhat fair to say he was what someone referred to as an enlightened conservative, even though that he was a Democrat. And you need to understand this. The Democratic Party at that time, as well as the Republican Party, had liberal and conservative wings. You don't have that anymore, in the sense that the Democratic Party, for all intents and purposes, is on the far left. They are progressive. Some are still liberals, but most are progressive social Democrats, socialists, however you want to describe them. I don't think Kennedy, now people change over their lifetime, but that was not the politics of Kennedy. Kennedy was a strong anti-communist. He obviously was against organized crime. He was for a large national defense, as well as a space program, and he wanted to cut taxes to decrease unemployment and increase the growth rates, which is what I advocate. And he made a point. I was listening to his so-called tax cut speech, and he made the point the next recession, the deficit is going to blow up. And that's exactly where we stand today. Because the economic policies that Barack Obama is pursuing is not what Kennedy would pursue. It's exactly the opposite. He wants higher and higher tax rates and more stimulus programs. And it didn't work under Roosevelt, who was a big time increase the tax rates. Roosevelt really had excise tax after excise tax on numerous articles that low and middle income people bought. He was a big taxer. It didn't work in the Great Depression, and his taxes that Obama is supporting now isn't working, as the stimulus package also didn't work. So in terms of strictly economic policies, Jack Kennedy was totally different than Barack Obama, totally opposite. And Jack Kennedy was a big anti-communist. Now, I don't think Barack Obama's a communist, but I really do believe he's a social democrat, a socialist, progressive. The label's not important. He's for big interventionist government spending. He wants a bigger government. And Obamacare is a perfect example of what Barack Obama wants, and he truly wants single payer, which is not where Jack Kennedy was. So history tends to be selective, and it depends who writes it and what their biases are. I wanted to give you a little flavor of my thoughts on the subject. I'm really not into the conspiracy theories. If you want to get some information on it, I think a starting place, and really just a starting place, is Contract on America, the mafia murder of President John F. Kennedy. And I will, for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the show, as well as get my notes for the show, is to go to my companion blog, prompops.wordpress.com, that I'll post probably by Saturday by 5 o'clock. I should have it posted, because this is a fairly short program. I'm looking at the time right now. I think I've been going for about an hour. I might be wrong. Let me check. More like 50 minutes. So I'll go another 10 to 30 minutes. We'll see. But that's one book I would read, just if you're into if you want to know more about the assassination, more about the mob's role or the mafia's role. Now, another book I would recommend, I don't have it in front of me. It's A Hero for His Time. I believe I have that title right. And I'll post some information on that. And that is more an intimate history written about 20 years after the assassination. It's very much a more intimate view of the family and their relationships and what people that he knew. I find it a good book, but there are literally dozens, if not hundreds, of books about the Kennedy administration from various aspects. And this is just one book that I picked off the shelf today and got a little bit more insight. And I was selective. I kind of skimmed it. But for those that are totally not knowledgeable about, and that's probably most students on this campus, because they were not born. You know, most of the students on this campus today were born 1980 onwards. Some it's 1990, and a few might be born 2000. So that's the problem. They know literally nothing about Kennedy, nothing about the assassination, nothing about his administration, nothing about the foreign policy successes as well as failures. So I thought I would at least superficially touch upon them and give you some pointers, depending on what your interests are. I think he was growing in the job, and had he lived, not be assassinated, who knows what would have happened. I think there's a good chance he would have not become involved to the degree that Johnson did. I think he would have said enough is enough, because we had thousands of people there, and people were getting killed. I think at the time, I might be off in this number, at least in 63, when President Kennedy was in office, I think about 69 Americans had died in Vietnam, and over 50,000 subsequently died because we increased our involvement under Johnson to over 500,000. And see, that was the mistake. I came to the conclusion, because I've lived through this, you don't fight other people's battles. You can help them, you can train them, you can arm them, but whoever is your ally, they have to fight their own battles. And they can't become dependent upon you. And I think that's what happened with the Vietnamese. They were very much dependent on us, and we got more and more and more involved in the sheer number of people over there. It became our war, and that was the mistake. Don't fight other people's battles. And the United States abandoned the South Vietnamese, and it's largely the Democratic Party that did it. And you got to keep in mind, Lyndon Johnson was a Democrat. He was a very much a liberal Democrat. And you had the new left that was really battling the old left, the old liberals. Now, you also need to understand the majority of Americans supported Lyndon Baines Johnson for much of the war, and even Nixon. Nixon inherited Lyndon Baines Johnson's mess, but Nixon was a progressive Republican. At the time, they would have called him a Rockefeller Republican. I wasn't a fan of Nixon either. And see, that's what you need to understand, that both parties had both their progressive wings as well as their conservative wings. You don't have that today. The Democratic Party is progressive on leftwards, and I would say far left. And what's happened to the Republican Party, it's very much a divided party, and as far as I'm concerned, it's controlled by progressives, or some would call them rhinos, Republican in name only. A better way to say it, they're big government interventionists. You get them in both parties. The only difference between the two is what they want to spend the money on. That's not hard to understand. And many of the Republicans today are, a number of them are neoconservatives. And they got their start in the Democratic Party. And they want government intervention abroad. They want to spread democracy. They want an active government. An active government. They want big interventionist government abroad, and they encourage that. See, I'm for a strong national defense, but I'm not for empire building or interfering in country after country after country, which is exactly the history of the United States under both Democratic and Republican presidents. Barack Obama is not any different than George W. Bush in that regard. And George W. Bush is not any different than Nixon, and Nixon was not really that much different from LBJ, and LBJ was a continuation of JFK's policies. You see, when you build up a large national defense, one of the dangers is that can lead to interventionism globally in many countries, not just one. And as a result, the United States has been in war after war after war. And one of the problems with that is, if you want to look for one of the reasons that government has gotten so big, it's war. Wars are expensive not only to execute, but they also have a continuing expense. People get killed and wounded, and the wounded need and should be taken care of. All that costs money. To run a large national defense force, you know, and Eisenhower warned against it. Beware of the military-industrial complex. And that's the problem. It's with us, folks. And that's why I don't support either Democrats or Republicans anymore. As much as I'm for a strong national defense, I'm against interventionism, whether it's in the U.S. economy or whether it's abroad. And when you have a large military force, the temptation is to use it. I'm not saying you never use it, but it should be the exception, not the rule. Unfortunately, U.S. intervention abroad is the rule. It's not the exception. And intervention in the U.S. economy is rampant, and it's not doing very well, folks. See, Kennedy was concerned about growth. That's why he wanted to cut taxes. He's a firm believer by cutting, and we had very high tax rates then. He was an early advocate of what was later called supply-side economics. But he knew if you let the American people keep their money, they would go out and buy things. And that would lead to an expansion of the private sector, but what it would lead to is the formation of more and more businesses and the growth of those businesses to supply the needs of the American people. And once you had growth taking off like that, government revenues would naturally increase. And that's what I'm advocating. We need cuts in government spending, but we also need cuts in taxes. We need a pro-growth economic policies. And Ronald Reagan was very much an admirer of Jack Kennedy. And that used to drive liberals, it still does, drive liberals nuts. Because what Ronald Reagan did is he cut taxes. I know he increased it subsequently, but overall he cut taxes. And the revenues came in. The problem wasn't the revenues coming in. The problem was the Democrats controlled both houses and they did not cut spending. You need to do both. That's what I advocate. Dramatically cut taxes, dramatically cut government spending, and what do you get? You will get much higher growth rates. And much higher, I mean above 3%, 4%, 5%. Kennedy wanted 5% growth rates, and he could have gotten them, or higher. And once you do that, one of the consequences of doing that is not only do you have a near full employment economy, which is what you want, but guess what? The government gets more tax revenue because business is booming. Most people are working. Most people are paying not only income taxes, but they're paying payroll taxes. That's the answer. That's the answer to today's situation. You need to learn from history. And that's what you need to take away from this. We had a president early on that was advocating dramatic decreases in taxes that ultimately was passed through the leadership of Lyndon Baines Johnson, and it worked. The economy grew. Now, to be objective about it, one of the problems was, yes, the economy grew, but we were engaged in a major war abroad, a major war. Over 500,000 Americans were in Vietnam towards the end of Lyndon Baines Johnson's administration. He finally did not run for a second term because he, I think, read correctly that the youth of America were against him, and he doubt whether he could get reelected. So in a surprise news conference that really few in his staff knew, he announced he wasn't going to seek another term as president. And I think he made the right decision. And unfortunately, Robert Kennedy did run, and he was assassinated. I'm not going to get into that assassination. But both Kennedy brothers, the president and the attorney general, who subsequently ran for the Senate in New York and was elected, and then Senator Kennedy was running. He had competition. Believe me, he had competition. He was running for the Democratic nomination to be president, and he was assassinated in Los Angeles after winning the California primary. Whether that was mob related, I don't know. I really don't know. Some say it was, some say it wasn't. Or mafia is a better way to say it. I say mob, but their number, organized crime, mafia, Cosa Nostra, a number of terms. They're not good folks. You know, they run gambling, prostitution, drugs, you name it. any criminal activity, they're involved. It's big business. It's huge business. And if you get in their way or you cross them, they solve the problem by killing you. And I think there's involvement. I have no inside information here, folks, but I think the mafia was involved. How? I don't know. I think they definitely ordered Ruby to kill Oswald to shut him up, because Oswald knew things that they did not want disclosed. And when he's dead, he couldn't disclose them. And the rest, as they say, is history. Well, it's history, but there are a lot of histories. You know, which history? So, like I always say, these are just my opinions, my comments. Do your own homework. Read some history. Read a book on Kennedy this weekend, if you have time. I know many of you are approaching finals, have papers to write, but if not on the Thanksgiving holiday, then for the Christmas holidays, read a book. Read a history book on the Kennedy years, on the Kennedy administration. If you're into conspiracy theories, on the assassination. Come to your own conclusions. And there's a lot to choose from. The only thing I would say is check whoever you read, find a little bit about who you're reading. Because there are a lot of liberal, pro-Kennedy writers that will give you their point of view, very favorable to President Kennedy. I try to give you as objective a analysis or comments as I can. I don't think Dallas was the reason Kennedy was killed. That's just where he was. I think Oswald would have went to any city that was close by that he knew. Oswald was wanting to kill Kennedy. He would have went to any city he knew Kennedy was going to be in. And since Oswald was in Dallas and Kennedy was in Dallas, their lives passed and both of them ended shortly thereafter. So this is my end of the celebration, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. May you rest in peace. And now let's move on. I wanted to talk about transparency, because it's abundantly clear when talking the conspiracies, we didn't have transparency there. A lot of information never got out or got out only many years later. Well, guess what? That's happening today. It continues. Now, why I'm mentioning this, what triggered this, I was preparing for the show prep, and I ran across the fact that the photojournalists that cover the White House, as well as journalists, wrote a letter complaining to President Obama of being shut out of a number of news events where they normally attend and take photographs, as well as videos. It's not only just photographs, but also actually videos. And instead, what the White House is doing is limiting access to events, and subsequently, after the event is done, providing the press with photographs and videos. Well, that's nice, but it's the job of whether it's a television network, a cable network, a photojournalist for one of the major newspapers, or any newspaper, they need to be in there getting the photographs of the videos. It shouldn't be manipulated, and that's what this is. It's manipulation and exclusion of the press from major news events, whether it's in the White House or other parts of the administration. And this letter was signed by all the major networks, many of the major newspapers, as well as the White House Correspondents, I think it's Association, and the White House Photojournalists Association group. So this is somewhat a big deal, because this has been going on for a while, and finally they've really said enough is enough, we're going to complain. Now, the White House answer is, well, we're giving you the video and the photographs. It's not like we're not giving you what you need to do your job. Well, that's well and good, but their job is to be there to do their job, and they can't do their job if they're excluded from an event. They can't ask questions. They can't take photographs. They can't ask follow-up questions. And sometimes they learn of the event after the event's happened. I think we're going to hear more about this because this is not a recent phenomenon. President Obama made very, very clear in his when he was campaigning for president the first time in 2007 and 2008 that he was going to have a transparent administration. Remember hearing that? My administration will be the most transparent administration. Didn't seem to work out very well when it came to Obamacare because many of those key meetings with some of the principals of the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, as well as the hospitals. Looks like I'm going to have to wrap it up. So I'll probably continue with this story next time because it's going to, and this is the early, the letter just went out yesterday. So we're probably going to hear a lot more about it. I'm going to cover it. What you need to understand is President Obama again lied that he was going to run a transparent administration. It is probably the most opaque, I call it opaque Obama administration around. You were lied to, the press was lied to. Wake up to the fact. President Obama is a liar. He'll say what he needs to say to win you over temporarily. But eventually you learn that he lies, and this is just another lie. And keeping the press out is just another manifestation of the lack of transparency in this administration. And I'll have more to say about this on my Monday show. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening. Do your homework. And again, to listen to the show, go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S .wordpress.com. At the very top, you'll have links to the last 30 shows. Below that, you have a complete archive. And below that, you will have my notes, which include videos, photographs, articles, information pertaining to those segments. Thank you. And now back to the music.